Hey everybody, it's Lloyd Spence, and guess what? It's that time of year, my favorite time of year, March Madness, and BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, the NBA is also in full swing. College basketball is heating up as the schools make their way to the madness. Listen, the tournament is coming, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. Look, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. And guess what? You can receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag. BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. What up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Noise, and I'm trying to tell y'all what's going on with our newest sponsor, eBay. Now, whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verifies the box, logo, stitching, and a dozen of other inspection points. And each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 plus, making it free to sell or flip your collection. You can't beat that. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. That's ebay.com/sneakers today. It's eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you.
You are now listening to Believe in the ACC with my husband, Mr. Talking Noise, Lloyd Spence, and our brother, Heisman Trophy and Florida State legend, Charlie Ward. And now, Lloyd and Charlie. Go get them, fellas.
Currently, right now, we are at the half in one of the games, Florida State and Colorado. And Florida State is up 24-20.
Correct.
Michigan and LSU are tied at 55 with about 12 minutes left to go in the game. And we are here. We believe in the ACC, and we're glad to be here with you. I am Lloyd Spence. That is Kendrick Hasley at the bottom. And that guy over there is Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner, Florida State legend. Rooting for his Seminoles, all in and invested fully. Hey, can't take his eyes off, and I don't blame him.
I'm rocking his Knicks.
I appreciate you guys letting me come back on.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. They didn't kick me off.
No. We love you, Charlie. You know what it is. This brotherhood is strong that we've created here.
Rocking his Knicks. Look at his Knicks hoodie.
I see that. I like it, too. I really like it.
It is.
Charlie, I got a question. I got a question that I want to ask you tonight. When you see the tournament start like this, what feelings rise up in you or memories rise up in you? What's your favorite tournament memory?
We were Cinderella or surprise at any time. We did improve each year, you know, the three years I know that I was able to be a part of the NCAA tournament. We improved each year. I don't know. Just the memory of just, I know our Elite Eight run.
Yeah.
Was a great memory. We were able to come out of the we played on or in Orlando, which was a little bit of a home court advantage, but we played well. And then we ended up playing Ball State. There's a guard there by the name of Ball.
Lonzo Ball?
Mark Bell. Bell.
Oh, Bell. Okay.
What's my man name? Played at Ballard with
Mark Bell. Mark yeah, Bell. Absolutely.
Yeah, Mark Bell was a point guard for Ball State, and we were able to come out on top with that win, and then we ended up playing Kentucky, which.
Well, you know.
They had.
What year was that? What year was that?
That was in 92. Yeah, 92.
That was the Mashburn group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ford, yeah. Yeah, that was a good team.
Yeah, they had like 10 deep. They just kept running guys, pressing and whole game. And we were able to hang in there the first half, but second half we just kind of ran out of gas. But you know, that run was very great. It was a great run. We just weren't able to get over the top and make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, Mark lived right around the corner from me.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he did. He does now, uh-huh. But he did then, because we all lived in the project. So it was like it was.
Mark's so a good dude. Hey, Mark's wanted to because he was the point guard with Allen Houston.
Yeah.
So Mark's a good dude.
Great dude.
He's an assistant coach now, and he's still doing. Yeah.
So
he's assistant coach with Anthony Epps.
Really?
Last I saw, I don't know if they still are. At one point they were Anthony Epps was the head coach and Mark Bell's the assistant coach.
That's actually a really good coaching pairing because they're both
if I'm wrong, Mark's gonna kill me because they're friends with
him. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. That's actually a really smart basketball pairing because both of them were incredibly smart basketball players.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a really smart
and just good dudes. Either way.
Yeah, real good.
Whatever
dudes.
They're doing now, they're just good dudes. They're
absolutely, good dudes. Absolutely. Well, it's been an interesting tournament would just be insulting. It's been a maddening tournament. I don't normally do this bad in my bracket, but this has just been horrible. First of all, I don't appreciate all these teams using the Lord as a sixth man. Like that feels unfair. And I'm speaking to the Lord. They're using the Lord. The Lord. like Oral Roberts and Loyola Chicago. Did y'all hear the prayer that Sister Jean prayed?
What's she praying?
She prayed when I tell you this prayer was specific, she talked about shooting over 30%. This is in the prayer. She talked about shooting over 30% for the 3-point line.
Oh, yeah, she included analytics in her prayer.
I was like, you are really telling God what you want, ain't you? You ain't playing, are you?
Hey, he say pray for whatever. Now, whether it comes to pass, that's another thing. But as of now, I mean, you pray for whatever. But, you know, I used to get that flack when I played basketball. And I shared, you know, my success towards the Lord, and people are like, well, the Lord, I mean, what does that have to do with anything?
Right. Oh, yeah, all the time.
And so, you know, I mean, it is what it is. God doesn't have favorites and all that kind of carrying on, but, you know, when it's all said and done, it's about glorifying Him with what you have and what's going on. Even in defeat, it's the same situation. But when it's all said and done, man, I'm just happy for, you know, the mid majors or small schools get an opportunity to showcase their talents. And so, you know, some of these schools have gotten two wins under their belts.
Man.
You know, some have gotten one.
Yeah.
Which definitely throws out some of the heavyweights. You know, when you start looking at Texas, you think about Texas playing today as opposed to Abilene Christian, probably a different game.
I would think that it would be, but listen, you don't have to beat them seven times. You don't have to beat them five times. You got to be great one day, and that is it. And these teams, some of these teams have done just that. That day, at that time, they played well. And one of the things I've discovered in this tournament as we start here, I didn't realize – as the tournament started, two things. One, that Syracuse was actually the best team in the ACC. And that apparently the 2-3 zone is the most potent thing ever created on Earth. It's unfigurable auto.
Apparently, so is the English language.
Unfigurable out is not a word. That's not a word. Okay, I thought that was a word.
There's my man Buddy Boeheim is shooting lights out.
Oh, he's killing it.
And they're getting some really good play from the other guys. He makes all their critical baskets, crucial baskets when they need a bucket. He finds a way, they find a way to get him open, or he finds a way to, you know, make a shot, whether it's a short pull-up jumper or a layup or something, he finds a way to get him a bucket. And then defensively, they just know, you know, they just know how to convert. You know, when the ball gets, they just, when the ball gets to the middle, they match up. When the ball goes to the middle and to the low post, they don't just concede that basket. They go and challenge it at the rim. I saw that numerous times on yesterday where the guy looked like he was going in for a layup and they got guys flying at him and contesting at the rim and got a few blocks out of it. And so, I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, it's very simple what they're doing, but they're playing really, really well because they know, you know, they know the defense, they know what they want to do on offense. And guys are stepping up and making shots.
I give Jim Boeheim all the credit in the world because I'm not the biggest Jim Boeheim fan on there is, because I'm just not. But right. You can't. I mean, you can't hate on what he does in the tournament. I mean, they perform in the tournament, and it's like during the regular season, especially when it gets into the conference season, when they, you know, they facing teams once, twice, three times in the conference, They know what to expect. But when they get into the tournament, I mean, they're lights out. That's been, I mean, we joked about it coming into the tournament. It was like, if Syracuse gets in, they're going to do damage. It's not because they're good. It's because teams are not used to a team that plays that zone all game long. And it's not even like they play it zone in the press.
Right.
It's not, they fall back and play that zone.
It doesn't even extend out. It's just a simple. Well, I say simple. It's a matchup zone. So it is some wrinkles and some things you're not expected to. You don't normally see. But it's at the end of the day, it's still a 2-3 zone. But man, they arguably are the perfect tournament team.
Yeah,
because if you don't know, if you've never seen a matchup zone or you're not familiar with that as a coach or as a player, man, trying to figure out the answers on the fly. And then the other thing is this, if you don't have 3-point shooters.
Basically at the end of the day, they're like, okay, make shots, college kid, make shots. In a big situation. That's what they're saying. College kid make shots.
Charlie, I love what you said, man. They're not going to surrender stuff in the paint for you. They're just not. They're not doing that. So you got to go in there and try to beat them. And either you hit the shots, and then if you beat them, they'll shake your hand, walk off the court, and go into the house. But
one of the things I saw West Virginia do yesterday that I'm sure a lot of teams probably try to do is they try to take out the middleman a lot.
And yeah.
Drive off of that guy, whether it was through the pass or, you know, dribble drive. And they were able to get that a lot off the middleman by, you know, boxing him out or whatever you want to call it. But the guy wasn't able to finish at the rim because they were contesting at the rim.
Yeah.
And so, you know, moving forward, I'm sure there'll be more teams that will figure it out the further they keep going down and the more time they have to be able to figure it out. And so, you know, once you start getting into the Sweet 16, you're going to start facing better teams, better talent. And not saying that West Virginia is not good talent, but you're going to start facing more teams is going to be prepared for it and be able to, take advantage of it. But they've been doing a good job offensively, like I said, of just being able to score the basketball.
Yeah.
And teams know what's going to happen. They just can't stop my man, Buddy Boeheim.
They can't stop Buddy Boeheim, who put up 25 points in the – was it 25 in the second half or a total of 25? I can't remember. But he didn't play well.
He was 25, but he got hot in the second half.
He got hot in the second half, yeah. And by the way, his pep talk came from who?
McNamara.
That's right. Where do we know that name? Oh, that's right. He's the guy that led them to their last national championship, along with another guy.
I wouldn't say led.
Well, yeah, Carmelo guy.
The other guy is still in the league.
Yeah, that Carmelo guy with him, but he was a strong contributor.
I would say McNamara. I mean, Carmelo carried him, but McNamara was right there.
McNamara was right there. Yeah.
McNamara and Hakeem Warrick. Hakeem Warrick, people sleep on him, but Hakeem Warrick was pretty good.
Hakeem Warrick was really, really solid as well. But shocking, shocking, shocking. Now, the other thing that we discovered in this Believe in the ACC that we talk about, apparently defense does not overcome prayer.
You're talking about Loyola, Chicago, and Illinois.
We said prior to that start of that game, Moses Wright being out was going to be a massive problem. And it was. I mean, yeah. that probably was the difference.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I would agree. I mean, unfortunately.
I think that mixed with Loyola Chicago being underseeded.
You think they were underseeded? That's interesting. Why do you believe that? You don't think they're a nine?
No, they weren't a nine. If you look at some at their stats, I mean, they were like one of the offensive efficiency teams. They were one of the top 10, 15 teams in the country on offensive efficiency. Well, no, they shouldn't have been.
Wow. Where should they have been seated, in your opinion?
They probably should have been a six or a five seed.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting that statistically the number one defense in the nation or number one defensive team in the nation is Loyola Chicago. I heard that today and I was like, well, it's hard to argue because, I mean, they look pretty darn good to me in both games.
So, I mean, Wade Big Dude dominated Coburn in the middle.
Oh,
he dominated.
Dominated. Dude. Like it was
dominated from the tip to the end of the game, even on shots that he missed.
Yeah.
They weren't like, it wasn't bad shots. He just missed them. And you know, he dominated Coburn. And that's what got me.
Yeah.
He dominated Coburn in the middle.
Yeah. No, it wasn't close who the better player was. And so I don't know, man. Loyola Chicago, we'll get in that here in just a minute, but listen, they for real. They bringing a lot to the table.
Yeah, they do play hard.
Huh?
They do play hard on both ends of the floor.
They play very hard on both ends of the floor. Were either of you shocked by the North Carolina-Wisconsin game at all?
No.
Not really, because that's the way North Carolina's been.
Yeah, you know,
their guards aren't playing well, but they really didn't get much from too many people. On that in that game.
Yeah, the better team won.
Yeah, and now you get my man Kessler. Come on, man.
Yeah. What about
where's he going? You think?
Man, I don't know. You should stay at.
Is he leaving?
Yes.
I saw he entered the transfer portal. I didn't see that he was.
I mean, he entered the transfer portal. Once they do that, man, just go
wait
ahead.
A minute. Hold on. Kessler's in the transfer portal?
Yeah.
As a win. When did that happen? I missed that one. That slipped past me.
Today.
What happened today? Well, I've been running around today, so I did miss it. Wow.
Yeah.
What made him? What's making him? Oh, I'm looking at it. It just popped up. There it is. I just see it right now. Okay. I wonder what made him leave. What's making him leave?
Probably, I mean, nah, we're speculating.
Yeah.
I mean, he was playing a lot. So
yeah.
I don't know if it was right. That. I don't know if he wants to be a feature, play more, you know, be able to play more. But he's a freshman.
Yeah. 7-1.
Five-star freshman.
Center, five-star McDonald's All-American.
I guess
I wonder what Roy's future is.
You think Roy is in danger?
I don't think he's in danger. Roy's 110 years old.
He is 110. You think he may call it quits?
I mean, he may not be calling it quits this year or next year, but I mean, it's got to be coming soon.
I mean, at some point, you do have to call it quits. Like, well, again, maybe you don't. Maybe you can stay forever. I don't know. Maybe. That's a tricky one.
Behind.
He's 102, I think.
And how old is Coach Ham?
Coach Ham?
Oh, no. 117.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Krzyzewski because Krzyzewski fits right in the middle of those two at 100.
Coach Ham's 117, but he looks like he's 55.
Right. You know why that is. I won't mention it, but you know why. I'm shocked that Kessler's leaving. I am stunned. That is stunning news to me. I did not see that story.
Him leaving makes me just wonder about the future of Roy Williams. That's the main thing I think about. Because
you work hard to recruit a kid like that.
And the bigs in front of him were going to leave. Their main, like,
yeah, and he's clearly an anchor for what they were going to do next year. And wow, so I wonder where he'll go to. Wow, that's really shocking. I did not see that.
I know a good landing spot for him in the conference.
Is that a wish? That's a wish.
Not a wish. I just know a good landing
spot. Are you allowed? I don't know the rules of this for ACC, but are you allowed?
They lifted that this week.
Oh, well, now the plot just got very interesting.
Where is he going? Louisville?
Well, Malik Williams announced that he's coming back.
I did see Malik is coming back, which
he's having his press conference tomorrow,
which I think is smart. I think he's smart, even though I still think he probably would have, depending on what his health is, he probably would have gotten a good look, NBA look. But I think he would have, because he can play. He can play. But he would have.
He's had so many injuries. He had to come back.
Well, let me say this. I think the smarter move is to come back and prove and play into your draft position. Man. I would imagine the entire ACC is making phone calls to Kessler today. No. Like, geez. You say no, Charlie?
I don't know about the entire, but I'm sure there are some schools.
There's some schools still playing.
I'm just saying.
You can get somebody on the phone. The head coach ain't got a call.
They're not playing right now. Other than your nose is on.
I was gonna say most of the ACC is not playing right now. Yeah. The majority of the ACC is home.
You know, it always comes back to Florida State with Charlie.
Right. Well, listen, Charlie, you might get a text tonight with a phone number. I'm just saying.
Let me live in the moment.
Okay, stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. We won't take that from you.
I don't know how long it's gonna last, so let us live in the moment.
I picked your nose to go to the Final Four.
I'm assuming Al is talking about.
It wasn't because of you or because I believed him. It's just because I just felt like it just worked out that way.
Yeah, the bracket worked out that way. Yeah. Some other surprisers. Florida held off Virginia Tech.
That was a very good game.
It was a good game. Very good game.
It was a good game. Ooh, big three by Michigan.
Michigan's right there, man.
If they can sustain with Livers out, I think if they can get through this first weekend with Livers out, I think he'll be back by the Sweet 16.
I go say he's projected to be back.
We got a stress fracture.
It's not a fracture yet. It's the next
stress step. Reaction.
Yeah, stress reaction.
Ugh.
If he can come back, I like him. But if he doesn't,
well, they got a brutal bracket.
Who is that? Michigan.
Michigan. That bracket is brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, brutal.
They got us. They'll have either us or Colorado.
They got y'all. They got Alabama. That bracket. They got y'all next if y'all win.
Right.
And then they got Alabama potentially if they win. That's a lot to get through. So I don't envy them in any way. I think that is a brutal set of circumstances, to say the least. So. 3-5 so far in the tournament, but it could be worse. Some teams are 0-7.
Some teams are 0-7.
Some conferences rather are 0-7.
Oh, boy.
You know, it could be worse. Could be very, very worse. Very much worse. On the women's side, things seem to be pretty much going to form. Like the women, that's why I love the women's bracket. See, I could make money off the women's bracket. The women's bracket, well, then I
know you can't.
I say that, and then I'm looking at the halftime score of Louisville and Marist, and it's 29-24.
Is that what the score is?
That is the score of the women's game right now.
Halftime?
Yes, 29-24.
Well,
Louisville is up.
Our score was 24-20 at halftime.
For the women?
No, for the men.
For the men. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's 28-20 in the second half now.
It's not like there's a whole bunch of scoring.
Nobody's scoring like that right now.
Oregon and Iowa today was a different story.
Oh, yeah. They put on a show.
Well, they left a lot of guys open that shouldn't have been open, though.
Yeah, yeah. That one was interesting. Wow, there are some close games today in the women's game. Yesterday was all blowouts, but today was kind of tight. Texas A&M squeaked one out.
Do you think we'll get any upsets in the women's game?
Well, we got one today.
Who?
There was one today. I saw it, and BYU beat Rutgers. Yeah. That's an 11-6. Oh, it was two today. I'm sorry, because BYU and Rutgers wasn't even one I was thinking about. Oh, it's been several. Now I'm looking at it, it's been several. So BYU beat Rutgers. Wright State beat Arkansas. This is a 13-4.
That's the one I saw.
I saw that game, yeah. And then, of course, just like in the men's game, a 12 is going to be the 5. Belmont beat Gonzaga 64-59.
Go Belmont. I'm an OVC guy. OVC conference. There we go.
So we saw a few go down today. What do you think happened to your Coach Wyckoff and your nose?
Did they lose?
Yeah. They couldn't guard. They I don't know. They couldn't guard their guard, number one.
I didn't think that guard. She was great. She was okay.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't. But we just didn't. And then early on, offensively, we killed ourselves. We came down at one point in the first half, and it was like no pass shot, one pass shot.
Yeah.
And then we weren't hitting any shots. And then we were allowing them to drive and make layups without even contesting off their pick and roll, and we just gave them everything. And then I think the second half they may have played a little bit better, but it just wasn't something. It was tough to watch.
Obviously. Yeah, no, it was. It wasn't what I'm sure it wasn't what Coach wanted by any stretch of the imagination. It looked like I don't like, I never like to say a team is not necessarily prepared, but I think, I don't know. This having to build your own fire, I think, is affecting some teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like Florida State's a team with a first year coach trying. Not even a first year. It's just one of those things. It's just tough.
It's tough. She's
just not getting a job. It's her first job. I guess you call her a first year coach, even though she's kind of like an interim coach.
Right.
And it's just hard. It's just hard for her.
It really is. It really is.
With everything going on, it's just hard for her. And all three of us are big fans of hers. It's
absolutely just hard. Yeah. I forgot to mention this. I don't know how I let this slip past me. I forgot that Ohio, not state, but Ohio beat Virginia. And you know what's funny? There were so many people that picked that game.
Jay Billis. I picked that game because of Jay Billis. I picked that game
because of Jay Billis, too. I'm like, yeah, I was like, they are? They really that good? Okay, well, let's go in.
He was so big on Ohio's point guard.
Yeah.
He was saying he's a triple-double waiting to happen, and he almost had a triple.
He almost had triple-double. Yeah, he balled out.
Yeah, that dude's cold.
Yeah, he balled out. I got to give it up.
Their style was a lot better for Virginia than I think they played Creighton tonight.
Oh, yeah, he got dusted by Creighton.
Yeah, and so because Virginia, I don't know, they play a certain type of defense, and they left – I mean, my man cooked them.
My thing with Virginia, because I covered Louisville. If Heiser or Hauser, however you say his name, if he didn't go crazy, Louisville would have won that game. Louisville would have beat Virginia.
Yeah.
He just went crazy. He was like 11 for 13 or something crazy like that.
Go ahead.
I mean, they could have beaten Virginia, and if they messed around and won that game, if he didn't go crazy, Louisville probably would have won that game, maybe even won it by double figures, and would have been in the tournament. They were playing good defense on him. It wasn't like he was just making wide open shots. They were guarding him, and he was just making shots.
Yeah.
He's not just making shots. Louisville wins that game. Nobody else from Virginia did anything.
Well, here's what's interesting about what Creighton did today. They only played really seven guys, only one guy played 8 minutes. The other guy played 10 off the bench. So I don't know if you can call that playing them. So they really only played five guys, but all five guys scored in double digits.
Yeah. Normally that's what happens.
Yeah.
And during the playoffs or the tournament, you normally tighten that rotation to, six or seven guys or eight guys at the most. And unless you have a deep team and, you may play 9 or 10 guys, but the ninth and 10th guy may be like filler minutes. Someone gets, in foul trouble early on. And so I just think it's, that's normally what you're going to get around, playoff time. You're going to get a tightened rotation because you're just going to know what those guys are going to do, and you can get them in a rhythm, and they're going to, at this point, is live or die.
Live or die, yeah, so yeah.
You're going to go with the guys that you feel comfortable with and that you feel is going to give you the best chance to win. And kind of go from there. And you're going to see that in all the teams around this time. You may, like I said, you may have 10, Florida State may play 10 guys, but the ninth and 10th guy are going to be filler minutes. And so it's going to be one of those types of deals, but everybody else going to play about seven guys.
Just real quick for stat purposes, Louisville, in this Louisville Marist game, as they get ready to tee it up for the second half, Louisville, 3 for 15 from the 3-point line. Dana Evans, 3 for 10 from the field overall. 0-for-5 for the 3-point line.
She has, I don't know what, she's been in a funk for, I mean, she was in a funk through most of the ACC tournament.
Yeah. Well, it looks like that funk is carried over, and it'll be interesting to see if she can shake it off. It looks like Michigan is going to hold on, but there's still like 2 minutes left to go, 2.5 minutes left to go. So I would imagine they're probably going to be safe. It's going to be a foul game probably the rest of the way. Like you said, it'll be interesting to see if they can hold on.
It will hold on.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah, at this point, yeah.
Yeah. What's the biggest shocker? This is our non-ACC question of the week, sponsored by eBay, by the way. What is your biggest shocker so far, tournament shocker so far?
Men's or women's? Men, well, I guess men's.
Yeah.
That the small teams are just overall in general, just some of the small teams that haven't backed down from the big Power Five schools.
Yeah.
And just how they've attacked them. You know, just that whole deal. I can appreciate that type of intensity. They stand true to who they are. And that's been, you know, great to see. I just need the big wigs to step up.
Yeah. For me, I am saddened that VCU never even got off the bus.
Right.
I think that is a brutal way to end your college career.
That is true.
I hate it for them. Especially with them being a mid-major, because you know, for some of those guys that played, that this really is it for them. Like, that is, it's all over. And so that's a brutal way to lose. But I understand. I don't like it, but I understand. So that's the shocker for me, that VCU never even got off the bus, basically.
Hey, I'm going to go with the women's side. The shocker for me was the crapping weight room that the NCAA had for them and signed off on it. That's the shocker for me. It's like, what are you doing? Because Jeff Walls, in Jeff Walls's way, and Lloyd, you know Jeff.
Absolutely.
Charlie, I don't know if you've been around Jeff that much. The first thing that comes to Jeff's mind is what comes out of Jeff's mouth.
That is exactly. And that's why I love him so much. So very much. He is a walking soundbite.
His press conference, because it was a Zoom thing yesterday. Mm. He said, my problem is not with what happened. My problem is with the guy whoever it was that signed off on it and thinking it was okay.
Yeah, this looks good. This looks good.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, yeah.
What they actually revealed, Kendrick, is that the guy just signed off on it. I bet he didn't even look at it. He was probably like, yeah. Oh, they probably got it. They probably got all the details right. And he never even looked at the sheet at all.
That's probably what happened.
See what was being sent.
That's probably
he didn't look at who he or she, because let's not be right.
Could have been a she. Right.
It could have totally been a she.
Yeah, which is even worse.
He or she probably did not look at whatever they were signing, and was just like, okay.
But they were probably going off of.
That's embarrassing.
Probably going off of just trust.
Well, I got to give my shout out to Don Staley, who crafted an incredibly credible letter of scathing report to the NCAA and said, well, now we know what you think of us. And I was like, well, thank you, Dawn Staley, for being so, and signed it at the bottom, put her whole name.
It's like, part of me is like, I keep, because I guess this is because I keep, the thing that irritates, it's not even like that I agree with, it's the thing that irritates me, because I keep hearing people like, well, the women don't bring in as much money as the men. The NCAA is printing money. It doesn't matter how much the women are bringing in.
Right.
They deserve equal amenities as the men have, as he lifts at three.
There is no logical reasoning as to why those facilities are not exactly.
No, there's no legitimate.
No.
There's no excuse. I don't care if the men bring in more money than the women. The NCAA is printing money. And so I don't want to hear that.
The people who are saying that have never peeked behind the curtain not one time. Not one time. And they have no idea what they're talking about.
A lot of people are saying that haven't even been towards the curtain.
Right, haven't even been towards the curtain. Yeah. So, no, I totally agree with you. But I'm proud of the women for speaking up and getting things forcing the hand of the NCAA. We got about 44 seconds left in this game. This thing is tightening up.
Right.
This Michigan LSU game.
I flipped over to the Louisville women's game.
LSU is down by 6 with 43 seconds to go.
Oh, they made a run for it?
They made a little bit of a run. So, and he just got an inbound and traveled. The point guard for Michigan. So now, I thought they fouled him, but no, he turned the ball over. He traveled on the handoff. Oh my goodness! Is LSU going? Okay, he missed. So that's probably going to be it. He missed. This is going to be interesting to see how this ends. Florida State up by 1 against Colorado. The Louisville women are up by 6 against Marist. And I'm going to be in front of the TV the rest of the night watching basketball. This is where we are. You guys got any final thoughts for us?
It's so weird. I'm telling you, for someone who's usually at the tournament, even though, granted, if our teams would have made a tournament, most likely we would have been out by now.
Maybe. I don't know. You never know, man.
Being it's home, it's
this
like
a weird one.
It's the trade-off. We just talking about, because like literally I've talked to every sports guy in town today.
Okay.
And we all were talking about, it's weird because it's cool because like we're at home. I can chill at home and watch games during the day. We never get that.
You never get that, yeah.
So you get to stay.
We have our teams in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm going to be honest with you. God love high school sports. It's not the same.
Not the same. Although I am rooting for one team in particular, my Western Warriors, who made it to the regional finals. I'm excited about them. I'm excited about –
You've got to root for – and I was telling Charlie about him, Central.
Yes, I am rooting for them. I am definitely rooting for them.
12-0 because of COVID. They only played 12 games, but they're 12-0. Heading into the regional tournament, the coach, the girls, they are great kids. You can't help but root for them when you talk to them. They're amazing kids. And, like, they were so good when I interviewed them. And I was talking to the coach after I interviewed all the girls. And he was like, they've never been interviewed before. And I was like, I can't tell.
Oh, wow.
They were better than most of the people that I talked to who I interview all the time.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
They got multiple girls with 3.5 or better GPAs. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're easy to root for. They're just great kids. They're 12-0 heading into the tournament, heading into the regional tournament. So we got to root for the Central girls. And then on the boys' side, you know, it's whatever. But –
I got to root for my Warriors. Y'all got to root. Listen, I rooted for Charlie's team. He got to root for mine.
I root for the Warriors.
There you go, Charlie. That's what I like.
I got to root for my boy, Tim Hinkle's son.
Yeah, Trent, shout out to little Trent Hinkle. I say,
but my homeboy that I grew up with, Chris Bailey, his son, he doesn't play much for DeSales, but he's on DeSales team. I got to root for them too.
Yeah, you're kind of in a conundrum right there. Well, but they're not playing each other this week. They played each other last week. Came up a little
short. They'll play each other like by Friday.
Yeah, because we should win the first one. And then we should be back on the court with them Friday. And it's hard to beat a team three times.
It's going to be an interesting high school tour. The fact that, you know, because like Charlie, y'all have been done for like a month. Yeah. We're just now starting playoffs around here.
Y'all be wrapping things up in Florida, boy. Y'all don't play.
Yeah, we're getting the season out of the way. I was wondering, like last year, we were done before everyone was talking about COVID and all of that. And they didn't have a chance to finish their season.
Wow. Yeah.
We start in November. And I think that's where a lot of the teams in different states, they don't start until like December or, you know, and they end up going all the way into, you know, the beginning of March. I mean, the middle of March, finishing their tournaments.
We don't finish. I mean, actually, we're right about where we always are. This is about the time we are. And we might be a week behind, maybe. But, yeah, we don't usually finish till right around this time of year.
All right, so Michigan just punched their ticket. They are in.
C Major's happy, apparently.
Yeah, C Majors. Well, a little bit. You know, he's, you know.
My man Juwan Howard.
I don't know how you can tell that. I'm not sure how you figured that out. But yeah. Juwan has probably got his dancing shoes on right now.
Got my man Juwan Howard and Howard Osley.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting weekend or week, guys. Can't wait to see how it all unfolds. Again, this is my favorite time of the year. So, I love sitting in front of the TV, just watching the games and this has been an incredibly interesting tournament. So,
we have a lot of filling the time with UK, U of L, and IU not being in the tournament.
What have you been doing?
Horse racing.
That's what y'all been talking about on the air.
Yeah.
Wow. That's rough.
You say horse racing?
Yeah. Well, part of it is Derby is a little bit earlier than usual because Derby is literally on May 1st. That's what we got.
Horse racing in March. Who would have ever thought?
We got horse racing and a lot of high school basketball because the college teams are in it.
Those games are going to be packed. They might break. That's right. They know attendance.
Yep.
Oh,
trust me.
At the horse race?
They'll have the tennis there, but both places, the basketball games and the horse race.
The basketball games, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but there are certain areas of the country that I live in that act like that COVID doesn't exist.
So there will be fans in the stands.
There will be fans, and they will put them on one side as if that's the remedy.
Well, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus either. But I've been watching some of the, you know, we're TV guys and media guys. So I've been watching the setup for these tournaments, and it's very interesting. In the lower bowl, there's nobody. But in the very high bowls, because you wonder.
Hold on, let me tell you what they're doing here. And so I was at, because, you know, we cover Kentucky and Indiana. And so we have one team in Indiana still in. They had their semi, it's a semi-state. And what just happened in Boulder, Colorado? Multiple people.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So it's at the semi-state in Indiana. There's not a such thing as COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they did in Kentucky when I was at the last big tournament for the LIT, the Louisville Invitational Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They had the bright idea of putting all the fans on one side and the players on the other. Well, while the players are they're kind of distanced, the fans are not. So I don't know why anybody thought that was a good idea, but I'm sure that's what we're going to have this week And I have no problem telling them that they're stupid because I tell them that when I'm there.
So there you go.
That's how we go.
There you go. we got to end this at some point, but we are you guys are peeking behind the curtain now. We're brothers and we have fun and we just like to talk to each other. So
yeah, I forgot we were still on.
Right. Okay, the Louisville women are starting to pull away because I don't think Marist has had a point in quite some time. It's been a minute since they scored.
Now in the women's game, you're gonna get close early. And then they start pulling away because they just have more talent.
Yeah, one team is typically usually far and away better than the other. So
it's rarely upsets in the women's game in the first couple of rounds.
It really is, which is shocking when there were so many today, because that usually that first round it's pretty much chalk for sure.
But then again, you're gonna have some teams that may not be seeded properly.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we'll do this all again on Wednesday. We'll do some projections, and I don't know. We'll have some fun this week. That's what we do here on Believe in the ACC. So until then, guys, and keep enjoying the tournament and keep having as much fun with all this as you possibly can. So that means go who? I didn't hear what you said, Charlie.
Go Noles.
I just wanted to make sure it was clear. That's all I wanted to make sure. Have a good one, guys.
You have been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward and Lloyd Spence. You can tune in every Tuesday and Thursday on the Believe Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere podcasts can be heard. You can also watch Charlie and Lloyd on Facebook on the Noisemakers page and on YouTube on the Noise Media YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, and follow on all our platforms, and we will keep taking you inside the ACC.